This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
In the beginning, there was heaven and there was earth. And the earth was without form, nor
void.
And darkness was on the
face
of the
deep dope.
Dope.
With smiles. It riles them to believe that you perceive the web they weave. And keep on thinking free.
Yeah.
But I could not hold on to her very long. So I cut off my hair and I rode straight away. Oh, the wild unknown country where I could not go. Of darkness and light, the fighting line ran through the center of town. I hitched up my pony to a post on the right. Went into a laundry to wash my clothes down. A man in the corner approached me for a match. I knew right away he was not ordinary. He said, are you looking for something easy to catch? Said, I got no money. He said, that ain't necessary. We set out that night for the cold in the north. I gave him my blanket and he gave me his word. I said, where are we going? He said, we'd be back by the fort. I said, that's the best news that I've ever heard. I was thinking about turquoise, I was thinking about gold. I was thinking about diamonds and the world's biggest necklace as we rode through the canyons, through the devilish cold. I was thinking about ISIS, how she thought I was so reckless. How she told me that one day we would meet up again and things would be different the next time we were. If I only could I hang on and just be her friend. I still can't remember all the best things she said. We came to the pyramids all embedded in ice. He said, there's a body I'm trying to find. If I carry it out, it'll bring a good price. 'Twas then that I knew what he had on his mind. The wind, it was a howling, and the snow was outrageous. We chopped through the night, and we chopped through the dawn. When he died, I was hoping that it wasn't contagious. But I made up my mind that I had to go on. I broke into the tomb, but the casket was empty. There was no jewels, no nothing. I felt I'd been had when I saw that my partner was just being friendly. When I took up his offer, I must have been mad. Inside, threw him down in the hole, and I put back the cover. I said a quick prayer, then I felt satisfied. Then I rode back to find Isis, just to tell her I love her. She was there in the meadow where the creek used to rise, blinded by sleep and in need of a bed. I came in from the east with the sun in my eyes. I cursed her one time, then I rode on ahead.
I said, no place special. She said, you look different. I said, well, I guess. She said, you've been gone. I said, that's only natural. She said, you're gonna stay. I said, if you want me to, yes.
Stuff. You talk a good game about the picket fences and the honey at home, but when the seven deadly sins start lining up at your doorstep and you see that little lady Lust all dressed in black,
what are you, the devil?
Let's keep it moving. Going live. Wait, I just said that here. Live the hard drive. As Solman also just said now twice, from the Fifth Estate, Studio A. He's the mystery man, the man in motion, who is extremely, after 4.5 years of doing this program together, is hands-on today. And the show better be better for him. I'm Jumpin' JB, and I'm the one who makes idle threats for our hour and 58-minute tour day farce here on these Wednesday nights in the Free FM Music Zone. And hello back live to the mayor of Hamilton, of whom I got a shout-out on Mike Williams' morning show this past Monday morning. Say, oh, yeah, you got listeners in New Jersey? Tell them I said hello. Like, we've come a long way, baby. And actually, I just saw in the last hour or two the latest podcast download figures for the month of April here on Free FM. Hookie-doo. We're doing good. You people are supporting us, and we thank you for that, obviously. Or should I thank your ears? Well, how about both? And we're very grateful. You know, this is a decent amount of work. When I was sketching the show out yesterday, it took me a few hours to, like, put last week's show away, go about making notes to titillate and inform you, pick just the right blend of music that pleases me, if nobody else, quite frankly. And we're here to bring cheer to every ear and joy to every girl and boy. Ope Without Borders Radio, musical hopscotch and mental gymnastics, the Paleface Parabola program for this Wednesday evening, May 6th, 2026, Anno Domini. And in the underscore, I am keen to inform you that recent birthday bass man Ron Carter, living legend in the jazz world, celebrated a birthday recently, and we're listening to his composition, It's About Time, from an Emmett Cohen album, Trio Situation. Emmett Cohen presents the Masters Legacy Series, Volume 2. I don't know what's on Volume 1. I don't care. I know Ron Carter's on this one. This on the Cellar Live label from 2017. And I'm not so jaded, even though I carry on like a damn fool on this program, not to be in awe and be thrilled like I was last week to play Duke Ellington music on the occasion of his 127th birthday. Man, it's a buzz to play somebody and be able to still talk about it while he's alive, of Ron Carter. We have podcasts, you betcha, as the philosopher Sarah Palin used to say. Good Pods, a recent acquisition of ours, or maybe we were of theirs, here on Free FM 89.0 out of Hamilton, New Zealand, on the North Island. Also, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and New Zealand Media Access, at least four different places, plus the Free FM website to dig our action. And again, we're extremely grateful that there has been a noticeable lift in our fortunes over the last month's time. Give us time, we'll deflate ourselves, or at least I know I will. Our associate producers, special guest star of the evening, 3D, my silver-haired sexy beast, got me up here on last-minute notice by her own volunteerism so we could do the show tonight, because otherwise it wouldn't happen this week. The big dog is taken slightly ill and begged off today. So he and his sandwich and his telephone are in absentia this evening. But thanks, much thanks, with much gratitude to 3D. Then there's our associate producers, Barbara and John, our next doors, who allow us to hijack a space in their parking lot. What's the line in Let It Bleed? Always be a space in my parking lot. Well, I don't know always applies, but I know that over the last few months, they've taken pity on watching us struggle up the hill to Studio A. So they've allowed us to park in the next door vicinity. New Zealand, our representing Mike Williams, our Monday and Thursday morning show host. Man, that guy is great. He's so skilled, can do a lot on the air and make it sound effortless. And this past Monday morning, as noted, the mayor of Hamilton, was in for an interview live in the studio, And he said, oh, you got listeners in New Jersey? Because I was listening to the program. And he said, that's great. Tell him I said hi. I think that's what he said. So that was good form. Plus, musically, and Mike is whip smart, although I think it's the puppet master, Phil Gray, pulls the strings. And with the morning music. And also, Mike lashes out at the clown car that is with the bad comb over that writes the checks here in the United States of America, mostly to his own benefit. So he can plunge us deeper into debt, because that guy's made a career of it, if you've read anything about him. Kudos, Mike, from far away. You got your own troubles with Chris Luxon, I hear, as your prime minister, but, you know, you ain't seen nothing. I was begging for a trade of Jacinda Ardern for Donald Trump back when she was prime minister, and she flew the coop before it flew off on her. Mostly because you people in New Zealand, for as good of a job as she did and as much as she protected you during COVID, during lockdown, you people bitched constantly. Philby, a.k.a. Phil Gray, our GM, the host of Retrospect, I think tonight's number 726 of the best garage punk freak beat show on the air in the geophysical world. I submit to you boldly and without fear of contradiction that directly follows our program after the Mystery Man's Midnight Magic Act to close up shop here on our program. He strives to get us new outlets for people and ears to hear, and he's the master of his domain. Studio A residence, you didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you, the Mystery Man, as noted before, he's got his fingers on the pulse of tonight's parabola, if need be, and he's got music to play for you, and if you behave yourself for the next hour and a half, he might even sing and dance for you at the end of the program. Me, I'm Jumpin' JB, and I talk blarney. Because, you know, this is entertainment, after all. It's not a library, and it's not freeze-dried format radio where you, the listener, and we, the hosts, are bored senseless. How about if we review and revive what we just played in this opening, part A of our triptych, the Pale-Faced Parabola. It's called Tonight Your Ears, Tomorrow the World. And as noted, Ron Carter with It's About Time. And it's about time I shut up because I got a lot of music I want to play tonight. And we only have another hour and a half to do it. So we told you it's from the Emmett Cohen CD. Then there was Bob Dylan, who appeared to be in the New York Times Sunday Magazine. More on that shortly. The 30 greatest living American songwriters. He was down there on the list, and I don't think it was by merit or order, natural order of things. Just think that's where he wound up, although it didn't seem to be alphabetical. Well, that's one of my favorites. 1976 played Isis from the album Desire from 1975, the follow-up to Blood on the Tracks, for obvious reasons, since he referenced the 5th day of May in the piece. Played piano on that, and an acquaintance of mine, who our record label actually worked with for a way too brief time before he passed away, Howie Wyeth on drums. Before Zimmy, Liz Phair, P-H-A-I-R, from her second album called Whip Smart. It was released in the 90s. That was the follow-up to Exile in Guyville. And the track called Cinco de Mayo, again, for what should be obvious reasons, unless you're too hungover to listen to the radio tonight after Cinco de Mayo. Oh, the coronas be flowing, I would imagine. We heard a rev up for the Indian Super Chief motorcycle. And then from my brother from a different mother, I got the news on Sunday afternoon that a guy that I've worked with for over three decades on and off and currently work with at Homegrown Radio, our station that the Mystery Man and I work at here in New Jersey, he has done his last radio program. He's got Lewy body dementia. That's L-E-W-Y if you want to look up the specs on it. And also Parkinson's, and his prognosis is dire. So I thought him and, to a degree, me, up until a question of balance, I had time for the Moody Blues. In fact, I had a lot of time for the Moody Blues. I thought the two albums they released in 1969, To Our Children's Children's Children, which was released in November of that year, and then that album, released in April of 1969, On the Threshold of a Dream, we heard two pieces conceived by Mike Pinder, the keyboard player of the band at that time. I heard Lovely to See You Again, My Friend, which I think is a fantastic song written by Justin Hayward, the 16 Teen Magazine pinup boy of the band, and Mike Pinder. And then In the Beginning, which I believe was taken from the TV show The Prisoner. And again, that's from On the Threshold of a Dream, the Moody Blues. The Apple Tree Theater got Tonight Your Ears, Tomorrow the World Begun. We're going to shake a leg here tonight. We got a degree of truth to send your way. Three chords, one chord, complicated chords. This one from 81-year-old Bob Seger. And before you turn the dial, you haven't heard this one much, I don't believe.
Yeah, I just can't quit though. Hollywood. bought and sold out in the cold. I fell back on my ABC. The one and only golden rule that I used down all the years. The one Jimmy Jim Tom gave to me before he quit this veil of tears. Live in the moment, baby. Play every scene for real. Live in the moment, baby. And play it like you feel, man. Play it like you feel. Play it like you feel, man. Play it like you feel. If you can meet with triumph and disaster, treat these two imposters just the same.
Mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
I'm just a simple working man, getting by the best I can in this crazy, mixed up, muddled up world I live in. I'm a middle class sort of a guy. I'm not rich, but I get by pretending that I know just what I'm doing. I'm a well-bred, upper-class chap. I don't care much about this and that, even when I know there's trouble brewing.
We think there's a change in the weather. We gotta learn to stick together. You see the thunder clouds in the sky. I wanna live, I don't wanna die.
I think the weather's changing. I hope the weather is gonna change.
Well, like the clock that is right twice a day, we're with point and purpose on tonight's Pale-Faced Parabola, at least for the moment. I know in about an hour I'll be gnashing teeth about the 12 things I left on the cutting room floor that I wanted to play. But not this one. And for people with some kind of memory bank left, because that's my favorite movie title of all time, Overdrawn at the Memory Bank, which was one of those B-movies from the 1950s. That's like, Overdrawn at the Memory Bank. That's fantastic. And I forget why I was just referencing that movie. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. So last week, I went to visit a friend who's had a tough year in hospital. And he Irish goodbye'd me at the end. He just got up and walked away. And he said, okay. The only thing he said to me was, send in 3D now. And I was like, started walking away from me. I was like, geez, Louise. Got a good meal out of it at a local Italian eatery, you know, after we left there. But I was like, well, you know, that, not that I was expecting him to kiss me, and I would have slugged him if he had tried, but because that guy can be aggravating. That guy can be really aggravating. Listening to the Parlor Greens with Irish Goodbye from their previous record to their new one, which I haven't been able to get my hands on yet. This one's called In Green We Dream from a few years ago. And this has bled right. The Irish Goodbye has bled right into a cover of George Harrison's My Sweet Lord, which is what you're lobing onto now. The Parlor Greens here on the Pale-Faced Parabola. Free FM, accept no substitute. The Kinks, and I was saying to the Mystery Man, because we do a show for ourselves here in the studio while you're listening to what we're doing out over the air and on the podcast. And I was saying, you know, think about, well, I didn't say it that way, but okay, so this is the Kinks. It's a long way from You Really Got Me to that track. There's A Change in the Weather by the 1973 Kinks and the album called Preservation Act One. Now, this was visionary to me. Of course, I was young and impressionable at that point. Not even 20 yet. And I remember thinking, you know, I've read enough sci-fi books to know, or at least maybe have the opinion, that Ray had read sci-fi books too, and crafted this two-act musical play, which he then adapted for the stage, to get the word out about future dystopia. And it hit me, especially Preservation Act 2. And if you listen to Preservation Act 2 from 1974, now in 2026, feels like Ray wiped off the crystal ball and got right to the heart of scarifying times. There's A Change in the Weather. The Kinks. The Waterboys from one of last year's glorious and weirdest records. Life, Death, and Dennis Hopper. If I remember right, it's on the Cooking Vinyl label. And Mike Scott continues his journey towards the oddball and offbeat after his flirtation in the 80s with stadium rock and the big music. I like this record a lot because it's really different. Springsteen's on it, Fiona Apple's on it, I believe. Several different luminaries. The Waterboys. A Canadian band from the province where our beloved Edmonton Oilers play in rinks up there. And they got knocked out in round number one of the NHL playoffs last week. And if there was ever a team that was thirsty to be knocked out in the first round, which is kind of an ignominious exit, especially since a Canadian team hasn't won Lord Stanley's Cup in 43 years. They needed a rest. They've been to the finals 2 years in a row, lost both years to the Florida Panthers, and they were just beat. Injured, beat up. Defense and goalies couldn't stop a beach ball. And we went home early. I'm still following the playoffs. In fact, watched them last night. But, yeah, it's I, unlike most sports fans in the tri-state area, don't gnash teeth or want to fire everybody on the team if they lose early. It's kind of like, well, yeah, sometimes a better team beats us. Sometimes we beat ourselves because we're not good enough. And you could see it coming as far back as November during the hockey season last year that the Oilers weren't going to make it this year. They just didn't have the snap. Well, I say all that to say this, and has nothing to do with the band of Sheepdogs, otherwise, except for the fact that they work and play in the same province. We heard the track, which was a last-minute audible call from their brand-new record, which just came out last week, called Keep Out of the Storm. It's on Right On Records. And the piece called Take a Look at Me Riding. So I guess we got some two-wheel enthusiasts in Alberta, Canada. The Dogs were discovered by Rolling Stone magazine a while ago. I remember it, that they won a contest, the best unsigned band in the world, and who knows who stuffed the ballot box or if they made it on their own merits. But certainly, I went out and bought their first record on strength of that victory lap and thought, hey, this is pretty good classic rock for the modern era. I don't want to say bad company, but I just said it. And none of them are as good a singer as Paul Rodgers. They write lyrics equally as well, because Paul Rodgers wrote, especially for Bad Company, like he didn't have a brain left in his head. But I like the Dogs. I've got a handful of their records now. They're good. Very, very good. The Zombies, speaking of exceptional, which we weren't, but I just said it, from their first album, wittingly entitled Begin Here in Mono, and the instrumental, which certainly shone the bright lights on Rod Argent's keyboard playing. We heard Work, the letter N, Play, from 1965, and Colin Blunstone doesn't look like this anymore, but neither does Rod Argent. You know, they've aged, and not that well physically, but those guys still, well, they did concerts until Rod Argent had a stroke a couple years ago. And I don't know if they're making any more new music in the studio. I haven't got that memo yet. You'll be the next to know when I know. And started that set off with Bob Seger and The Last Herd, or The Lost Herd, H-E-A-R-D. They spent time getting that pun together, clearly. from 1966. Yes, Bob Seger, who turns 81 tonight. It has all day long, frankly. And that was a really young sounding Bob Seger from the Detroit, Michigan area, in which I don't think he had started chain smoking yet, because he sounds pretty fresh faced. That was the title of that track that began the set. And you know, he's another one, another classic rocker I've got time for. I mean, yeah, it got burnt out on FM radio here in the States. By the time we got the Hollywood Nights and the album Stranger in Town, after the success of Night Moves, which is one of the greatest songs I've ever heard, and certainly one of the great songs of the 1970s IMHO. All the news that gives you fits. We'll be back with We Cheat the Hangman next. Navy SEAL Robert O'Neill, he shot Bin Laden 3 times in the face. He testifies 15 years ago last week. Quote, I would have hung him from a bridge in New York City and let the locals deal with him, because Obama wanted to avoid an international call to budding terrorists, and they buried him at sea, which is Muslim tradition, apparently. And I think he got heat for that, you know, the whole Barack Hussein Obama thing, which Trump revived over the weekend. Eric Holder, his former, well, his attorney general, is overseeing redistricting here in the United States, because the Republicans are trying to hijack that like they did the Supreme Court nominations at the end of Trump's first term. AI. Routine tasks this one robot tried, except it deleted the company's entire database in seconds. Oops. New Zealand. Is this rejected? Did I write that? Rejected a statue honoring, quote, comfort women, unquote, from the Japanese army. Some 200,000 of them. People are horny in New Zealand. Or were, anyway. Mexico, a Mayan settlement from 250 to 900 Anno Domini was discovered recently. Wow. Spin me back down the days and weeks of my youth, huh? It's allergy season. No, it's duck season. No, it's wabbit season. France. The baguette is endangered. The French just don't eat as much bread as they used to. Starbucks. I've sat inside those places, I think, twice in my lifetime. Once to go to the bathroom. $9 cups of coffee. And rightly so, the CEO is getting a lot of heat for it. $9. And still, sometimes if you're out on a major highway and you see a Starbucks, there's people lined up out in the streets to buy that swill. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Love comes from God. God is love. Perfect love expels all fear. We love because God loved us first. And I thought about that because it was a scriptural lesson in one of the churches that we go to, or went to, and also because I had a heated, spirited, but friendly debate with a friend of mine who went to Bible college and knows the stuff, but has turned pretty, 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 pretty cynical, as Larry David would say, in character on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Irish Nancy Lally, L-A-L-L-Y, lives in Roselle, Illinois. She's 105. Good on you, lass. How about a frosty mug on me? Mary Lou McDonald, who's the current leader of Sinn Féin, the separatist group in Ireland. Ireland is losing young people to Canada and Australia, in purview of New Zealand. The high cost of living and lack of opportunity are the suggested reasons. WWOZ, I was telling the mystery man, there's that tale again, the beginning to this tale again, that it's a fantastic station out of New Orleans, the cradle of American musical civilization in the early 1900s. And New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, maybe among in the conversation as, you know, one of the most storied music events in the calendar year here in America. And I heard what's left of the Meters playing Fio on the Bio from 1974, when they were the Neville Brothers. Ooba Dooba, was that band tight. They were so good, it was crazy. I kept looking at the radio saying, they're playing a record. But they weren't. All the news that gives you fits, part two. May 4th, 1970, four dead in Ohio. And man, I was old enough, and I remember it. It was just like, wait, did they really do that? They had National Guard patrolmen shoot down American college kids. Now, the kids were abrasive, but it's like, couldn't you shoot them in the foot? Never happens. And the only thing good that came out of that, well, two good things. Number one, it deepened our dislike for Nixon, a president that you didn't think would ever get any worse than him until current car crash showed up. But 2 weeks later, we're listening to the radio at the party house that we kind of grew up in, older brothers, were ultra hip, and WNEW FM was the East Coast freeform commercial station, which went out all over the place. We used to listen to it all the time. All of a sudden, this guitar riff comes blasting out, and wow, what is that? And then you heard the voices, and it's like, that Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young? It's like, yeah. What happened is that Neil Young, still not being, having dual citizenship at that point. He was Canadian, but he got curious about it, and David Crosby showed him an article on it, and he went home and he wrote Ohio, like a lot of the best songs ever, in 15 minutes, went back, showed it to the band, and they kicked it. Almost done. Back to the music. What do we have queued up? Oh, yeah. New Orleans music from 1956. Canadians against Trump. I saw this today, wrote it down. I paid $86.47 to fill my gas tank today. And you know, our former FBI director, who seems to be a bit of an arrogant cuss. At the same time, it's like, this administration wasting their time picking on people like him and the New York Attorney General, Letitia James. And the scary part about these people, they never quit. They won't back down. Like Tom Petty, the only thing they have in common. Groucho Marx, one time as a doctor, either he's dead or my watch has stopped. And finally this. New York Times Sunday Magazine this week. Did you see this? The 30 greatest living American songwriters. I agreed with 9. And here they be, if you care about my opinion at all. And I hope you do, or I'll cry. Because I know I do enough to make you cry on a weekly basis. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll mostly cry on this program. Well, the ones I agree with, Carole King, Living Goddess. You don't believe me? Swipe back your kids' Tapestry album, which they stole from you after hearing it, and have a bash with that. Bob Dylan, who we played before, and for obvious reasons, what should be anyway, he's been the acknowledged master of American song since the mid-1960s. Fiona Apple. I like Fiona Apple. I like how quirkologist she is and how weird she is. Her last album, Fetch the Bolt Cutters, I thought was one of the albums of the year. Springsteen, who has had career revival at the age of 75. And his show is very topical, political, and on point, this tour with the E Street Band. Stevie Wonder, who hasn't made a record worth a damn since 1981, I don't think, Hotter Than July. But in his heyday in the 1970s, he went to the head of the class. The Holland brothers, Brian and Eddie, missing Dozier out of that, Motown staff writers in their day, and very effective at that, from Hitsville, UK. Smokey Robinson, speaking of, he was one of the movers and shakers of that organization. And he wrote songs for the likes of Mary Wells, and he was absolutely brilliant and invented the format called a quiet storm with some of his more laid-back, sensual and sexual albums in the 1970s. Willie Nelson, remember we're talking about greatest living American songwriters, turned 93 last week. If I get a hitch in my get-along, we'll hear some Willie tonight. And Paul Simon, whose career began when he came back from England in 1964. Columbia talked him into going electric from the folk stuff he was doing in England. And you can compare that body of work to Bob Dylan's, I think, favorably or just honorably. Now, I thought about some people after reading some of the other names on there. Greatest living American songwriters. I don't think Bad Bunny has enough of a catalog yet, body of work. And people like Lana Del Rey, who sounds the same every record, although I like her, how provocative she is. Lucinda Williams, whose vocal affectation I can't stand. Mariah Carey, it's like, I know she sold more records than any other woman, living or dead, but it's just like, Mariah Carey, really? If they hadn't had a spot weld her dress on and, you know, allowed her to sing 5 octaves in every verse where 1 octave would do, she'd be singing karaoke nights. Well, here's some names I thought of, just to run these by you. Greatest living American songwriters. John Sebastian, The Lovin' Spoonful, for a couple of years. How many of those songs can you name, and how many more can you sing along with? A lot. Felix Cavalier, E, similar to the Rascals, both young and old. They only had about a 5-year window, but what a glorious 5 years. Tom Waits, not in the top 30 living American songwriters. I mean, really, come on. And I don't know why I even bother. It's kind of like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing. I don't know why I even bother getting worked up about these things anymore. It's subjective and it's stupidity, but it gives us something to argue about. Joni Mitchell was not in the top 30. And you're thinking, I'm not the world's biggest Joni Mitchell fan. I think I didn't like her early stuff. I didn't like a lot of her later stuff. But that 1970 stuff, geez Louise. Stephen Stills, sticking with that genre of California rock. For what it's worth, people would be singing that song as long as music is made, among other great things he did. Try the Manassas record if you've never heard it before, the first one. Steve Earle, what a songwriter. He's written a lot of good stuff, and he's got a great beard. James McMurtry, son of Larry. What's the name of that album? Childish Things from 2006. You can't make a better record in the modern age than that. And he's got other great stuff, like the Texaco, the first album he did. Dave Albin, both from the Blasters and also from the band X, and then solo, but notably and chiefly the Blasters. His songwriting helped save my life in the 1980s. In terms of rock and roll music, Steve Wynn, W-Y-N-N, of the Dream Syndicate, and an admirable solo career. And if you haven't heard of him yet, go out and get the album Static Transmission. It'll make your life better for all the right reasons. David Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, of the Talking Heads, and a terrific solo career. How's he not on there? Los Lobos, the greatest band in the land for years and years, made a number of outstanding albums. David Hidalgo, Cesar Rosas, and the rest of the band. Neil Young, who you can count as an American now because I think he's got the dual citizenship, especially since he married Daryl Hannah. Al Green wrote the Soul catalog in the 1970s. I love those records. Willie Mitchell, too. For that production and great drum sound. Roger McGuinn, he wasn't a prolific songwriter, but between his playing and his songs, gold star. Jeff Tweedy, from both Uncle Tupelo and Wilco especially, I mean, and his work with other people, including Mavis Staples. Roseanne Cash, Johnny's daughter. She's tremendous in her own right, has made a number of wonderful albums. In fact, one of them, Rhythm and Romance, released today in 1985. Robert Cray, who I'd like to go see tomorrow night if I need a miracle to do it, but he's playing in our area. For the blues, after he got past the initial wave of songwriters, including Willie Dixon, Robert Cray's the man. Two soul for blues, two blues for soul. Lyle Lovett, my favorite artist of the 1990s, laconic, and what a pen. Terry Adams of NRBQ, the last man standing in that band. 1969, they started off. That guy changed American roots music. And a whole bunch of others. I'm sure you can do your own, fill in the blanks of what, off the top of my head, I didn't get to this morning. Have you had enough parlor greens yet? Good. Then this is our Irish goodbye, courtesy of Eddie Bow from 1956 in New Orleans, here on the Paleface Parabola, Free FM 89.0, the North Island of New Zealand, Hamilton, geophysically, 2 hours south of Auckland, NZ.
go out. Mama looked at me, she was beaming through the window. When she looked at me, you thought I was a single. Lights out. When the lights go out, jumping on the front porch, tugging on the swing, almost hear them waiting bounce ring. Lights out, lights out. I'm right now, lights went out. Just to know what's more about, well, what you do when the lights go out. Yeah. Lights go out. Now we're married, bought a little house with a merry little sister, but the lights went out. Lights out. Lights out. Ooh. I'm right now. Lights went out. Just to know what's more about. What you do when the lights go out? Get it. Lights go out. Mama looked at me, she was peeping through the window. The way she looked at me, you thought I was a sinner. Lights out. Lights out. I'm right now, lights went out. Just to know what's more about. Well, what do you do when the lights go out?
Couldn't tell your name. sassy women, but I love it just the same. Listen, woman, you've been making me real quick. I can't wait another minute, baby. You've been making me real quick. Fox is sick. This fever just burning me is about to make me all sick.
Coming up on the last leg of the Pale-Faced Parabola, kind of like the Kentucky Derby, which was run over the weekend here in America, and that Susan Tedeschi and Derek Trucks played live at. They played the anthem at it, and anytime I think of the Kentucky Derby, I think of Hunter Thompson's description of it, who was from Kentucky and said, you've never seen so much vomit in your entire life as you have at that horse race, because people start drinking mint juleps early in the day, and by race time, they're gonzo. But somebody had the brains to invite Susan and Derek to the fray. Music from the Scatolites. Don Drummond and the Scatolites, because they used to switch off who was in the starring role. It's from the 1960s. Don Drummond died in jail in 1969. Today, at the age of 37, you guessed it, murdered his wife. Like, Don, couldn't you just shot her in the foot? I don't advocate that either. It's a bad joke. This one's called Garden of Love. He said, in a bit of ironic. So ironic, let's play it again. Complete with Latin opening to it. Swamp Zombies wouldn't feel right if we didn't squeeze those people in on a weekly basis, although you're probably tired of it. Ended the first bracket of We Cheat the Hangman with music from Michael Landau. I don't know anything about this guy. Pretty sharp album that was released a few years ago on the Players Club label. The album's called Liquid Quartet Live, and the piece called Can't Walk Away From It Now, which was a lament lyrically for an America that's lost for generations. The Savage Resurrection before Michael Landau with Fox is Sick from their one and only album released in 1968, originally, if I remember right, on Mercury Records. We interviewed back at a station I used to work at one of my friends who had the show on after me was a student of the San Francisco Sound of the 1960s and loved this band, turned me on to them. I loved them, and somehow he scored an interview, and Jeff from Oxford, who we work with here in New Jersey at Homegrown Radio, and Mickey and I sat down and interviewed what was a older version of the once 17-year-old Randy, and it was really informative and great fun. Fox is Sick from the self-titled Savage Resurrection record of 1968. From a compilation disc, Los Lobos and Lights Out. Was that a Little Walter song? I don't remember. I know Boom Boom Go the Lights Go Out. Pat Travers covered that one back in the 1980s. Lights Out. Yeah, I don't remember who did that originally. I know they didn't, but they rocked it up for nearly 5 minutes. Los Lobos, who haven't made a new record in a long time, and I'm mad at them for that. And began that set with Eddie Bo and Hey Bo, not Hey Bo, but it's like Hey Bo, because I wanted to see if I could do that three times in a row, and I could. I'm shocked myself. Well, the mystery man has fled the room at the very idea that we're going to play Willie Nelson on tonight's Paleface Parabola, but I didn't play him last week for his 93rd birthday. I'm going to fix that now. Let's do this one more. A main reason is from 2009, Willie Nelson teamed up with Asleep at the Wheel, one of the bands that gives me a reason to keep doing volunteer radio after all these years. They're from Texas, along with Willie. Ray Benson and his band have two things in common with Willie. One of them, Texas, being from there, although I think Ray originally was from Pennsylvania. And the other one was the love of the leafy green matter. from the album Willie and the Wheel from 2009. This track called Won't You Ride in My Little Red Wagon. And it's sung lasciviously.
Pull you down the street, and you know all the kids will be jealous when they see my playmate so sweet. Hold tight when we get to the hilltop. We're gonna coast downhill, you and me. Won't you ride in my little red wagon, 'cause you are my sweetheart to be. Down the street, and you know all the kids will be jealous when they see my playmate so sweet. Hold tight till we come to the hilltop. We're gonna coast down the hill, you and me. Won't you ride in my little red wagon, for you are my sweetheart to be. My sweetheart, please.
Well, I woke up one day with an uncontrollable urge to get an MBA, a newfound hatred for the poor, and a burning desire to start a war. So I went to my doctor and said, "What the heck is wrong with me?" And he just smiled and said, "Son, why don't you sign up for the GOP? Well, the next thing you know, I'm putting up posters of Ronald Reagan on my wall. I got a collection of books by Milton Friedman and an autographed picture of Vaughn Hall. Then I started working for my congressman, and on the first day that I got paid, I took all my money and donated it to Contra Aid. 'Cause I was a teenage Republican. Oh, the year was 1981, and a new era had just begun. We went from leisure suits to power suits, and disco records to guns. And we told the world if you were politically left of center, then it was reason enough to invade you. So to keep us safe from the communist threat, we went to a golf course called Grenada. Meanwhile, in the White House, anybody who wasn't extremely rich was persona non grata. Nancy Reagan said to just say no to everything except Frank Sinatra. But I was a teenage Republican. They promised to cut taxes and increase defense spending by $800 billion. Shooting for a balanced budget, give or take $2 or $3 trillion. Well, I supported Reagan and I supported Bush because they both sounded so sincere. But now when I look back on the 1980s, it all seems pretty clear that those guys are willing to say anything just to get elected, and nothing was achieved. The economy was destroyed and the American public was deceived. Now I'm standing in an unemployment line, my benefits are about to end. I wish I could apply to the same welfare programs the liberals tried to defend, but I was a teenage Republican, and I can't deny it. I was a teenage Republican, though I try to hide it. I was a teenage Republican.
Looking at your curves, I don't like you walking around with physical jerks. Everything they say and do is getting on my nerves. Soon they will be lucky to be picking up the perks. When they pull the shutters down and throw up in the dark, they'll find that all the dogs outside bite much worse than the bark. Here we are living in paradise, living in luxury. Oh, the thrill is here, but it won't last long. You better have your fun for it moves along. If you're already looking for another fool like me, you are a pretty villain, and I think that I should tell him that you'd make a pretty killing. Cause meanwhile up in heaven they are waiting at the gates, saying we always knew you'd make it, didn't think you'd come this late. It's much too dangerous to stop what you've begun when everyone in paradise carries a gun. Here we are living in paradise, living in luxury. Oh, the thrill is here, but it won't last long. You better have your fun, fun moves along. And your bedroom door, cause I'm the first to know whenever the plans are laid. They never go further than far to fly. You think that I don't know the boy that you're touching, but I'll be at the video and I will be watching. We are living in luxury. Oh, the
lock yourself up in the dark. You don't have to live in the shadows. You don't have to hit so hard to leave the mark, yeah. You don't have to live in tangles. You don't have to tie yourself up in the knot. You don't have to burn black candles. You don't have to let your blood begin to cry. I'm ready for peace talks. Your army for war. They're shooting across the border. Everybody's chops. I found myself last night walking on the ceiling. This shit's gotta be stopped. Well, you don't have to live in shadows. You don't have to scream blue murder in the night. You don't have to burn black candles. You don't have to scratch my eyes, identify, yeah. This world is one without trouble. This world is one place you don't get out alive. When this world is reduced to rubble, then there won't be a workplace in this world to hide. Out of a manhole and not out of your head. You're losing your control. Everything's starting to break down. Pieces of things keep falling apart. Stress your mind and you lose your head. You can't stop once you start. Well, shadows. You don't have to lock yourself up in the dark. You don't have to live in shadows. You don't have to hit so hard to lose a mark, yeah. You don't have to live in shadows. You don't have to live in shadows. You don't have to live in shadows. You don't have to live in shadows.
Stepping out of the shadows is both Marshall Allen, whose music you're hearing in the background. He is now, with the demise of Sun Ra 30 years ago or so, now the leader of the orchestra, and made his first solo album at 100 years old in 2025. The album's called New Dawn. It's on the Mexican Summer label, and we're listening to Angels and Demons at Play. The Mystery Man has stepped out of the shadows, and he's about to introduce his final act of our play this evening, and Phil Gray's retrospect coming up after that. Just heard Grant Parker and the Rumor from their comeback album in 2011 called Three Chords Good, and that track called Live in Shadows. Wonderful album. So was Elvis Costello's This Year's Model from 1978. They seem to fit well together. And we heard Living in Paradise from that record. I send that one out to the late Dr. Eels McGee, who once looked at Elvis Costello, looked at his album cover, heard the song, looked at the album cover, and said, how does that voice come out of that face? Then there was Wally Pleasant, and certainly appropriate for modern-day America. I was a teenage Republican who wound up changing his evil ways, baby. From his second album, Welcome to Pleasantville, Miranda Records, 1992, and began the set with Willie Nelson and Asleep at the Wheel with Won't You Take a Ride in My Little Red Wagon. We have reached the summit of the apex, if you will, of the program, and here on microphone number two is the Mystery Man to give you the goods on why we're playing this, and and some background on the artist itself. Go ahead there, buddy.
Why are we playing this?
Well,
because we can.
Sure. I was hoping for greater insight than that, but go ahead and run with it.
That's all it takes. We're going to hear from Ruth McKenzie, who is a Minneapolis-based musician who does a lot of work in Finland and Sweden, being a lot of Finnish people and Swedish people in the Minneapolis area. This album is called Kalevala. Kalevala is a Finnish folk epic that she's writing music around. And this album is called Dream of the Salmon Maiden. And the song is called Salmon Dance.
Well, it sounds fishy to me. And hey, you know, if you want to get... I forget what I was going to say. Let's just play the damn song. That's the end of tonight's Pale-Faced Parabola. Retrospect follows us here on Free FM. Welcome to our podcast world. During the week, you can text for advice, abuse, or comments on the Mystery Man and me at 908-914-7582. Sláinte, good fortune, go well. Here on track one, or whatever, CD player number 3 tonight, sparing no expense on this program, The Mystery Man with Ms. McKenzie here on the Pale-Faced Parabola.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.